Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line, Saul Thompson, CEO of the Chevra Kedisha. They issued an appeal to the community for emergency funding. This is the first time that the Chevra have done that in many, many years. I would like to find out what the current situation is in terms of the financial stress that the community is under, as well as what is going on at the various facilities managed by the Chevra Kedisha. Not an easy job at the moment, Saul. Very good morning. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
Good morning, Howard. No, indeed, but not easy for anybody, I guess, at the moment. And we're all in it together. And I think that's the comforting part.
We are indeed. And I think that is one of the most important lessons. We spoke to Atsola earlier, hearing about some of the amazing work that they're doing. You are helping financially many, many members of our community. Have you seen a large increase in the demand for assistance? Obviously, your costs have gone up because of how you're managing facilities. But let's first focus on the needs within the community external to your facilities.
Yeah, Howard, I think, you know, as you point out correctly, we're on both sides of the equation. That's quite unique, in a sense, to have one organization dealing with the health risk, which is obviously our residents. And then, as you point out correctly, the economic impact that's resulted from it. And that's, of course, our financial services to the community. And that's probably the Chev's oldest work, aside from burial. Assisting indigent members of our community. And yes, we have definitely seen a dramatic increase in requests for assistance. And it is reaching an alarming position for us that I guess many expected with the economic conditions. And yeah, we're dealing, I mean, our team is inundated with requests all the time.
Yeah. So let's just get a sense of those numbers if you have them handy, and you don't need to go through, obviously not reveal anything that you can't, but if what kind of percentage have you seen in terms of people of new recipients or of people that already required some assistance but has increased dramatically?
I think in May we were more than double.
Wow.
More than double what we would usually get in applications. And as you correctly point out, some of them are completely new. Some are those that we've been supporting for a long time but had some form of secondary income, and now that secondary income, be it a job or be it family, is no longer available. So they need more assistance. You know, and some are, sadly, you know, clients that had worked hard to become independent of the Chev, and were on their own two feet and now, sadly are not coping anymore.
That actually breaks my heart.
I mean, we're seeing a lot in all of those areas, and it's difficult, for our clients and for the people we're supporting, but, you know, many of them, if they're a single income household, and they, for example, were in the tourism industry, that income is completely decimated. And if they have nowhere else to turn, sadly in our country, the only place that you have is the Chev. There's no, you know, unless you're going to survive on 300 rand a month from the state, if you're a single mom with two kids, and your income's been decimated and you have no alternative. So those are the kinds of requests we're seeing. And I think the quantum is, more than the Chev's used to, assisting with. So in some instances we're seeing people with their entire income, you know, has disappeared. We're having to step up in a much bigger way.
Right.
So I think the numbers are big. Yeah.
Are you forced at this stage to turn people away? Have you reduced the amount that you would give pro rata? How are you functioning at this stage?
We haven't, thank God, and it's always been our maxim not to have to turn people away, because there is, you know, we're the safety net. If it's not for us, what alternative is there? There isn't an alternative. And so we kind of operate with this mentality that we cannot fail. We cannot not be there for people in their time of need. And then we work backwards from that and say, well, how do we, you know, get the funding in place to make sure that that's a reality? We've never had to turn people away. And I think that's only because the community have partnered the Chev for 132 years in funding this need, trust the Chev to do its job responsibly. And the donors have been there in a significant way. And we reached a point now with this emergency fund that we had to communicate that. We delayed. We knew this financial situation was coming our way, and we could have launched an emergency fund. We had lockdown on the 13th of March. We could have launched it on the 16th of March. We had already incurred a lot of money, as you point out, with our residential facilities. But we felt that, whilst there was so much anxiety early on, it would be irresponsible to have launched the fund, the appeal then. And so we waited as long as we possibly could to put out a responsible message and call for help. And as you correctly pointed out, the Chev's never done an emergency appeal. We've you've never seen us on charity. We've never called for
please
dire
charity.
Request.
Please never.
Yeah, please and we did it. Even this time we did it.
Please
you
don't.
Can see the
you're,
nature.
You're better than that. You are really better than that.
But have a look on our website. You know, we're not listing anybody's amounts. We're playing it very differently. We're trying to do it in a responsible way.
How has the
message
response
been? Simple. Yeah, it's been great. I mean, we've been going nearly five days, I think. Mm-hmm. We've got 435 donations on the website. Right. So what we're counting is the number of donations.
I think
we're
that's
not putting
important.
Anyone's amounts there.
Yeah, and I think that's important whether somebody gives 18 Rand or 18,000 Rand or 180,000 Rand. I think the what's important is the fact that people recognize it. And the other thing that would perhaps alleviate some of that burden. And certainly, I'm going to give a shout out to Kathy, Kayla and Chai around this is where you can help businesses that provides income for people, help businesses. I've certainly seen that on the Chai side, where Chai is doing everything it can to publicize for businesses that have been impacted by COVID, and just trying as much as possible to assist people. If there's somebody that you know that is, that runs a small business and you need to support somebody, support them, because that has a knock-on effect of that
Absolutely.
Person ultimately, hopefully not then arriving at a place like the Chev where they need assistance that comes out of other areas. So keep that flowing through a system.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a massive difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the Chev's early initiatives was to launch this Gesher Fund, which has assisted many small businesses already,
and
trying to keep that flow of income going, where it's a subsistence business and keeps the family going. So it's a shout out also to the Gesher team and all of those who are working tirelessly to assist the businesses. Mm. But I think, Howard, your point just on, how much you give, I think that's exactly the message we're trying to give the community, is that it's really not how much, it's how many people contribute. And we're hoping to see, thousands of people in our community contributing whatever number, 5 Rand, 18
Absolutely.
Rand, it doesn't matter. Just show that you're a part of it and sending that message of support.
And I would encourage people listening even to have their children become part of that process. Go online with their children. Let them donate something. Again, it doesn't matter what that amount is. This is the lesson. This is the lesson
Absolutely.
Of COVID. This is a lesson of community. It's a lesson that we take the time to think about people in our world outside of our own home, and we reach out no matter what that amount is. It's the act of giving that is so important. This is the lesson that they will
Correct.
Remember in 20 or 30 or 40
Correct.
Years time.
COVID will pass.
Yeah.
And what all we'll have is the ability to reflect, and see how we behaved at that time. And I'm confident our community will reflect with positivity and with gratitude that the most vulnerable were looked after even in the most difficult time.
Before we talk about what's going on at the facilities, just give us the address. How do people find
you can visit our website, jhbchev.co.za, and immediately there you will see a link to the emergency donation page.
Okay, brilliant. So moving on to what is going on in the facilities, I saw that there was an update that you issued around our parents' home, around the lodge,
yes.
around Selwyn Siegel. Give
yes.
us a sense, give us an overview as to what
Thanks.
Is going on at the facilities.
Yeah, it's We're trying to send those updates to the families and the residents once or twice a week and keep them completely in the loop of what's happening. It's tough, Howard. You know, we're fighting an invisible enemy. We're trying very hard to balance our approach, you know, the clinical requirements versus the psychological needs of our residents and the people we're looking after. And to understand, we're dealing with a very complex set of variables here. It's not easy to put a person with dementia in isolation. They need to move around, many of them, and they become quite aggressive. Or to explain to the residents of the Selwyn Segal why they can't leave their room if they are in a period of isolation. So, look, we've, thank God, been blessed, and all of the cases we've dealt with virtually to date have been asymptomatic. And all of the residents that have tested positive, interestingly, have tested positive whilst already a couple of days in isolation. So what that means is that our early interventions, our policies and protocols are seemingly working, that the moment we see something concerning or somebody comes back from a third-party venue like a hospital and they go into isolation, those things are working, because 4 or 5 days later when we do test them and they test positive, well, they've been in isolation for some time already and their ability to infect others has been limited. And thank God, as I say, to date, virtually every case is completely asymptomatic. We've had a couple of staff test positive. We've had a couple of residents in all the different facilities. But I must give a shout out to our residents in general, because they respond beautifully. They understand the challenge that we're facing, and we kind of moving in and out of this phase, probably since Pesach when we had our first positive case, that we move you know, people into isolation and we monitor for a few days, and our clinical team does tests, and you know, big shout out to our clinical and care team. I mean, I think we've done nearly 1,000 tests. That alone, if you want to work out the cost, it's probably nearly R1 million in tests. Mm. And our catering team, I mean, imagine trying to serve 1,000 meals, you know, at, 3 times a day to people in their rooms. So, I mean, people say, what's the money needed for? Well, takeaway containers has cost us nearly R500,000, because you're delivering food to people's rooms, in a, you know, in, across all these facilities. So the logistics are immense. We've had to hire additional security guards, nurses, cleaners, all of the things that are required, I guess, to shield and protect those residents. So, you know, we've got a lot of responsibility. I think on the psychological side, our social workers and our programming team have been very busy making sure the residents are kept busy, you know, taking crosswords past their room, dropping off books, walking around with a mobile tuck shop. Our Skype calls, I mean, we've had probably nearly 1,000 face-to-face Skype and amazing WhatsApp calls with the residents and their families. Right. So we have dedicated staff doing that. So I think, you know, the logistical, given the size of the CHEVS facilities, I think that's probably unparalleled, certainly in our country, you know, that we have so many residents. The logistics are extremely difficult and extremely expensive.
Absolutely. And, yeah, that's unfortunately where we do have to leave it. Saul Thompson, CEO of the Chevra Kadisha in South Africa, discussing two aspects. One is the emergency fund for assistance to members of the community.